Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond, and good morning to you, Laura Canning.
Good morning.
Laura, I just heard a report this morning that you've given 113 educational presentations in a quarter?
Yes, in 3 months.
That's 90 days.
Yep, and in February, which is a short month, I believe that number was like 57 or 52.
That's so two or three a day. Yeah. I mean, because I was going to say you don't work Saturday and Sunday. That's not exactly true. You work some of those days, too.
Right. But, we try to have a public program a month, once a month on a Saturday or Sunday when everybody can get there, kind of thing.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, I know you love your work, and that really helps, but that's pretty impressive, Laura. Pretty impressive. So today we do want to talk about the official name is Verma Composting?
Yep.
Okay.
Vermicomposting.
And I tell you, worms of any sort kind of give me the heebie-jeebies. But at least these are little.
Yes.
That helps.
Right.
So let's talk about what's the process. What do worms do?
Right. When we talk about vermicomposting, you can either talk about the worms either being what I use, which are the red wigglers. Some people just naturally use the earthworms that are in the ground already. And so vermicomposting is accelerating the composting and getting the compost to the finished stage by the worms accelerating that instead of a regular outside or hot composting that we would you could also do as well.
So nature does composting if we let it, right?
Right.
And where there are earthworms, we don't kill them. Where there is soil that they can get through. So so nature does composting, but we're going to help this along.
Yes. And mainly with vermicomposting, you're going to get into that you want to use your food scraps. And so your leftovers or your scraps that when you're making your salad or things like that are utilized more. Of course, you still need to keep that balance that you talk about the brown materials and the green materials and things like that. There's that balance going on.
And there's some things that worms shouldn't have on their diet.
Yes, meat. Cheese, milk products are the big no-nos. Usually when I have our vermicomposting totes or buckets, I also try to keep citrus out of them. Some people don't. Some people put in the citrus, but we just try to keep ours out.
Okay, and that probably, again, that balance, if there's a small amount of citrus, it probably works okay. If they had lots of it, it probably wouldn't work so okay.
Right.
So so this is really helping, not only helping the environment in general, it's also keeping, I think it cuts down on, I'm not sure it cuts down on cost, but it certainly cuts down on what you put into the landfill, and eventually that helps
us all. Right, right. We started our vermicomposting about, now it's going to be close to 3 years ago. So when you go down to my office, sometimes you'll see, especially if it's a nice warm day or a nice day when it's nice weather in general, we have Rubbermaid totes sitting outside our office. And you're probably thinking, well, I don't know what those are. But those are actually our vermicomposting totes, or our home for our worms. Right now I have a small tote that I can easily take into the classrooms, or what I like to call the apartment-sized tote. Me and my husband, we take care of that one. And then we also have a larger 18-gallon Rubbermaid tote that is our larger tote that that we also take care of. Usually that's by our other staff, brings in some of their food scraps, things like that. So we keep that one going. And then that 18-gallon tote is about a four-person tote, or, you know, so if you've got a family of four, that's the size you probably want to even start out at, things like that.
So we're talking, this is really possible in almost anybody's home. It's not,
right.
It doesn't smell
it
bad.
It doesn't smell. Everybody asks me that. And I said, I'll open the lid and let you stick your sniffer in there. And
yeah, if it smells like anything, it smells like fresh dirt.
Yeah, it just smells like dirt, really, essentially. And we, all we do for the winter is we have kind of a screened-in area porch, or, you know, it gets colder in there, but it doesn't get freezing in there. And then that's where the totes live for the winter. Otherwise, if it's nice out, we have them outside and they can be outside.
Probably don't want them in bright sunshine so they cook like in the
afternoon. I do put it somewhere where it does get the afternoon shade.
So now another concern that I hear people mention is, well, I don't want those worms crawling around my house, in my house.
Yep, there is drain holes in the bottoms of the totes, mainly for any extra liquid that comes out. I always take a plastic tablecloth, and I have that under the totes. Even when it's outside, you know, so then if there would be any escapees, you see them, and you have that extra, or it'll catch that extra moisture.
So now, initially you talked about some people use regular earthworms versus the red wigglers.
Right.
Are those more indoors than outdoors?
Right.
Outdoors
red wigglers, if you're going to move your operation in and out and want to use it in the winter, get the red wigglers.
Okay.
I know people that, you know, create their box outside with a dirt floor and let the natural earthworms in our ground come up and eat and go back down and around. So they
kind of winterize themselves.
Yeah. Right? So they don't add to it in the winter because they know nobody's going to be working.
Right.
Kind of thing, because it's outside.
Okay. But when you have the red wigglers inside, you can use it year-round.
Right.
Okay. So where do we get red wigglers? I mean,
well,
you don't go out and pick those up off of the ground.
Right. Technically, they are not an Iowa native worm or anything like that. And technically, you can buy them off the internet. That's what we did to start. And you buy them per pound. Funny thing. And so
a pound of worms. Okay.
Yep, you buy them per pound. Otherwise, you're just naturally going to, let's say, create. You know, they're just going to naturally reproduce anyway in your boxes. So naturally, we only get probably a pound to maybe 2 pounds out of our two boxes. And you got to realize that's six people feeding these boxes. So I have enough worms in there to do the work, of course, and then we usually have some extra, usually in the spring. So when I haven't harvested for the first time yet this year, that'll be here in a week or two when it really gets consistently warm outside. I will harvest them, and then, you know, we just kind of find an outlet for them. So
if you go to one of Laura's programs, you probably get some.
Yes, you can get the you know, we have compost, we do have some of the worms. Like I said, we're planning to have that average of, you know, about a good pound usually this spring of the worms. And you'll get all ages in those in that pound, even when you order it off the internet. So
baby ones and adult ones. Okay.
Yes.
It's a whole different way of thinking for those of us who don't,
you know,
like worms.
And if you're worried about, you know, oh, I don't know if I can really do this, or, you know, I have a lot of handouts and I have a lot of, I do have people that have gotten the boxes or have created boxes with me, and, you know, they do call, you know, usually that first time that they have to harvest, okay, am I doing this right, and refresh my memory kind of thing, and that is perfectly fine. Up at Ann Wickman Center, we actually 2 years ago had a small tote in their 3s, 4s, and 5s-year-old room, and they took care of it for a month, and they lived, they survived, and they did fine.
And 3, 4, and 5 year olds. Yeah,
so if they can do it.
Yeah, we probably all can,
you know,
do that.
And it's fun to, you know, to let them have that experience. You know, they learned about it at Snack you know, they can have a vanilla wafer, but they, you know, if your graham cracker has frosting on it,
maybe not.
You know, no frosting can go into that box. So,
you know, maybe we should all eat that way.
Right.
How much does a pound of worms usually cost?
About $30.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's then going to last you. I mean, this is
right.
a one-time
yeah.
investment.
We've only bought worms once, and we started those two boxes off. And we, just to get those two boxes really kind of going, we didn't give away worms until, you know, a full year probably afterwards.
Right.
So
now, those worms are working. You're putting the scraps in there to feed them. So then what's the end process?
Right.
What's the end result?
How do you harvest, right?
Yes.
So I usually just tip that whole thing, the whole tote, over onto a that plastic tablecloth that I keep with the boxes. And then naturally the worms are, and especially if it's outside, I do it outside so the sun works with me, they naturally go down to the bottom. And so I can then pick out the bigger food chunks or the bigger food that they haven't ate yet, kind of put that back into their box, and then start to harvest the compost, the soil, without the worms, because the worms are at the bottom, and harvest the soil, and then you got all that mess of worms at the bottom, and then you can put them back into the totes.
So you have this wonderful compost as a result.
Yes, and you know,
is that kind of high powered? I mean, do you have to use that liberally? Like, if I was going to put some of that on my house plant, there is a separate
Let's say process if you want to use them for house plants, so that your microorganisms or your little baby bugs or your baby eggs that might be in there, of anything of insect wise, especially since ours are outside, you have to be able to take a hot, you almost kind of cook the microorganisms out. Sterilize it out. You can use some of the compost tea. A lot of people use the liquid that sometimes seeps out on their house plants. That you do have to dilute down. That liquid is pretty strong.
Okay.
So, but otherwise suggest to everybody to use it outside and
put it on your garden or.
Yep, and usually it's going to be hotter or it's going to be stronger than your normal compost, concentrated.
Yeah,
so
don't just dump it all in one place,
right.
Maybe. Spread it out.
Spread it out, give it a good mix.
Or if you have some spots in your lawn maybe that need seeding, you could kind of use a little bit there.
Yeah, compost seeding is a pretty a hot topic. There is a lot of people that do compost seeding over in Council Bluffs area.
Okay. If we need more information, we can contact you, Laura.
Yeah. My phone number down at Cold Springs at our office is 769-2372. And even if you're just interested and want some more information or want to see the handouts,
give me a call. Very good. And we're going to see you later this month, talk about some other things. We want to thank you very much, Laura Canning, who is the Cass County Conservation Naturalist, for being with us this morning. Until next time, here's the thought. Goals allow you to control the direction of change in your favor.